Annette v. Astru, Mr. Sellers.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Lanise Arnett seeks reversal of a flawed administrative law judge's decision denying her claim for disability insurance benefits. My name is Joseph Sellers, and I'm appearing on behalf of Ms. Arnett today. The ALJ's decision was flawed because his failures of analysis and articulation prevent meaningful review and prevent the government from meeting its burden at step five of the sequential evaluation process. Particularly, the ALJ failed to acknowledge, address, and account for Arnett's vascular dementia. This failure prevents this court, Mrs. Arnett, or any other reader from tracking his reasoning and assuring that he examined or was even aware of the evidence relating to her vascular dementia. And even if we assume...
What did the ALJ tell the vocational counselor, or whatever he's called?
In terms of the RFC, Your Honor?
Yeah.
He limited her to a sedentary...
No. What did the administrative law... Was the vocational... What's he called? Vocational
expert, Your Honor.
Was he at the hearing?
Yes, Your Honor.
So he heard all the evidence.
He testified. Yes, he was present during the testimony.
I know he testified, but did he hear all the evidence about her medical condition?
Yes.
Yeah. So he based his estimate of available jobs on everything he knew about her?
No, Your Honor. He based his estimate specifically on the hypothetical question, which the ALJ posed.
If he's there listening to the evidence, why is he being given a hypothetical question?
That was the ALJ's decision to do so.
Or maybe I shouldn't ask you.
I can't speak to that, Your Honor.
Well, is it because as this process is moving from step three to step four, before you go to step four, it's the administrative law judge who has to determine residual functional capacity at that point, I thought. And then, having determined RFC, step four just asks about past work, and step five about other work, if past work is impossible. So the vocational expert would have to confine him or herself to whatever the RFC the ALJ instructed him to use, wouldn't he?
Correct, Your Honor.
So he can't second-guess the ALJ's assessment of RFC.
Exactly. And that is why the vocational expert's testimony in response to that hypothetical posed at the hearing is insufficient to base a Step 5 denial upon. Because a hypothetical based on a flawed RFC, flawed because it did not account for all limitations supported by the record, is a flawed hypothetical.
Now, is your position really that no one could have found her capable of work in the national economy, or just the more procedural point that there's evidence on one side, there's evidence on the other side, but we need a better discussion?
The vocational expert testified at hearing if Ms. Arnett's testimony was given full credibility, she would be unemployable for any job in the national economy. But in terms of the procedural question, mm-hmm. Yes, the ALJ's failure to fully account for all of her limitations in the RFC prevents the government from meeting its Step 5 burden, which means that she cannot be denied at Step 5.
I mean, this really all gets down to whether the ALJ was kind of cherry-picking the evidence. It seems to me like this case really does get down to the ALJ's determination of RFC. Then that manifests itself in various ways down.
Yes, Your Honor. It's the critical mistake that the ALJ made, and it was begun at step two, and it followed all the way through. The failure to consider to any extent Ms. Arnett's vascular dementia prevented the ALJ from meeting that burden at step five. And that is the critical mistake.
How old was she at the time?
I believe she was 49 at the time of the hearing, but I'm not quite certain. She was in her late 40s.
Yeah, I don't know where there's a dividing line between someone who's considered younger and someone who's older.
It's at age 50. I think you switch into the closely approaching advanced age at age 50. But she wasn't quite there yet. But regardless.
Does that make a difference?
Sorry?
Does that make a difference?
It does make a difference in the general scheme of things in terms of the sequential evaluation process. At age 50, the regulations.
The
sorry?
At that point, you're over the hill.
By the agency's definition, yes.
Yeah.
And it's slightly easier to meet the disability guidelines. And if there are no further questions at this point, I reserve my time for
rebuttal. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mr. Guerin.
Good morning, Your Honors, Mr. Sellers. May it please the Court, my name is James Guerin, and I represent the Commissioner in this matter. The Court is correct that the central issue in this case comes down to RFC, and particularly the question is whether an individual with Ms. Arnett's limitations could perform.
Why does the vocational expert sit in on the hearing if he's just supposed to base his judgment on the administrative law judge's RFC finding, plus her education and work experience?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, Your Honor, for the procedural reasons. I'm assuming it's a matter of convenience, and I know that there have been occasions that this Court has found where the hypothetical question was not restrictive, and this Court has said that in those instances the vocational expert might be assumed to have incorporated limitations that were expressed in the hearing.
But where does the ALJ incorporate her mental impairments into the RFC? We can't just look at the record as a whole and decide that it must have happened, because that would violate quite a few administrative law principles, starting with Chenery and moving forward. So where is it, in your opinion?
Actually, the ALJ, it's not that ambiguous. The ALJ said that she did not have a severe mental impairment, and that's when he's at the Step 2 analysis.
But that doesn't get into the limitations. I mean, you yourselves have argued, and we've got a bunch of these Social Security cases today, but the Commissioner likes to argue that that Step 2 is really just a threshold, and it gets you into the later parts of this inquiry, and then even things that may not be in and of themselves severe have to be taken into account as one determines RFC. At that point, it's really a global assessment. So I'm not sure that your answer is a good one. We have doctors in the record, Dr. Yorty, Dr. Bunza, saying that she's got cognitive problems, that she has trouble understanding directions, that she's got a low average or borderline intelligence. The vascular dementia could certainly do that. That's one of the things that happens to old people, too. And I just don't know where the ALJ really confronts that.
Well, Your Honor, the doctors that you're referring to, Dr. Yorty and Dr. Bunza, did not actually articulate functional limitations for the ALJ to incorporate into his RFC.
That's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if they said, we think she's unable to work, then you'd be arguing that's not for the doctor to say, that's only for the ALJ to say. And if they just describe slowness, low intelligence, difficulty in retrieval, inability to learn or remember new information, and so on and so forth, then now you're saying they're not tying it in enough to work. And I just don't see where, I mean, I'm looking at the ALJ's opinion, I don't see where the ALJ factors in mental capacity. You can sit still and not lift more than 10 pounds and, you know, do those kinds of things that are sedentary, but if you don't have the intelligence to follow instructions, you're not going to be able to work.
Well, Your Honor, the ALJ did mention that her education should be taken into account.
Well, cite me a page. You know, I'm looking at the ALJ's opinion. I want to see what we're talking about.
I'm sorry. I mean,
well,
in the
page four,
in the hearing.
Page four, isn't it? He says, in this area has mild, Mrs. Arnett has mild limitations, some memory problem. And he's citing this Dr. Bunza. But Dr. Bunza said that she has some fairly obvious cognitive problems, fairly significant retrieval problems, vascular dementia. I don't think the ALJ mentioned dementia, did he?
No, the ALJ did not mention the vascular dementia.
So all he does, he cites Bunza's report or whatever, testimony, and that's it. That's the only basis for his deciding that these are, he's imposed as mild limitations. So how did he get that out of Bunza's report?
Well, the ALJ did not mention also the state agency doctors who offered actual functional limitations after Dr. Yorty.
Well, look, I'm not interested in what he didn't mention. The only thing he mentioned is Bunza. And Bunza diagnosed her as having vascular dementia, which sounds extremely ominous. Dementia.
At the same time, Your Honor,
demented workers. Goodness.
You note that both Dr. Bunza and Dr. Yorty gave her a global assessment of functioning of 60.
I don't care about Dr. Yorty or whatever his name is because the ALJ didn't mention him. The only thing he mentioned is Bunza. That's his only basis for calling her cognitive problems mild. I don't see how he gets it from Bunza.
I'm not sure I can answer that question, Your Honor.
Well, what about the obesity? Isn't he supposed to discuss her obesity? How old is she? I've forgotten now.
I believe she was 48 years old at the time of the hearing.
That's how tall she is.
Oh, I'm sorry. She was 5 feet 4 inches.
And she weighs what?
At one point, she weighed 197 pounds, which would put her in the, I believe, mildly obese but not severely obese category.
What's her BMI?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I didn't
calculate
that.
That's what we use to determine obesity, right?
We do have several doctors, including, again, Dr. Yorty commented that she was mildly obese in their notes.
It's very vague because, look, there is this, it's a little formula, it's very simple. I had a computer, I could compute it. And, you know, they have 30 is overweight and, I don't know, 35 or something is obese. So that's usually the way doctors assess people's obesity.
Well,
it's a starting point, but it's useful.
Well, but Your Honor, as we noted in our brief, the ALJ based his physical RFC finding on the opinions of Dr. Karnani, Dr. Rasp, and others, and these physicians were aware of her weight. And this court has held previously that if the ALJ is basing his RFC finding on doctors who are aware of this condition, then that's sufficient.
Did she recommend or designate Rasp as the person probably most...
yes, Your Honor.
Her physical condition.
At the hearing, she was asked who would be most likely to be able to assess her her functional abilities, and she responded that Dr. Rasp would be that individual. And, of course, the opinion of Dr. Rasp was generally consistent with the ALJ's RFC finding, limiting her to sedentary work with no limitations on sitting, and I believe he limited her to 4 hours of standing or walking. And again, one of the points I would like to emphasize is that the ALJ was reviewing all of these doctors' opinions and in a rather massive record and discussed these opinions and explained what weight he gave to them, and his weighing of the evidence was consistent with the evidence. And so we would ask that the court affirm the ALJ's decision if there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Guerin. Mr. Sellers, anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.